We are a few days away from the draft lottery. Draft lottery, which I said that with some lottery luck could really change the direction of what the Bulls are looking to do this offseason. But in today's episode, we're going to look at what should be the Bulls' priorities in the free agent. And not necessarily players. We're not going to look at players. We're going to look at kind of what they could be trying to obtain, bring to the team, things like that. We're also going to look at the coaching changes from around the NBA and why the Bulls seem to be one of the coaches, one of the teams that stays in mediocrity when it comes to their coach. And DeMar DeRozan announces a new book. We're going to get to all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content. So I want to talk, I've talked a lot about the draft. I talked about what the Bulls could be looking to prioritize in the draft. Talked about players that are, you know, pending and what the Bulls could be looking for, then trade market for some of their players, their pieces, things like that. What is the Bulls' main goals in free agency? And that's going to be informed by a couple of different things, but we're going to kind of talk about that as much as we can here today. And I think the first thing that I want to talk about is how important is cap flexibility for the Chicago Bulls? And not necessarily just with this season, but future cap flexibility. Now, the thing with the Bulls is that we've never been a huge free agent destination. With that said, there are going to be some veteran free agents out there that could definitely help the Bulls. Maybe at the right price, and you know, the Bulls don't have a lot of flexibility to spend money on. Hell, right now the Bulls can't even use their full mid-level exception. And I do think that that may be something that the Bulls do look at, is creating enough space to be able to at least use their full mid-level exception. Now, that could come via Zach trade and not taking as much money back, Lonzo Ball. We've gone over like those aspects of it. Go and check out those episodes for that. But I do think that that is going to be a priority. The mid-level exception, if they can create enough room to use that, right? Which means that, you know, maybe Patrick Williams has to take a little bit less. Maybe DeMar DeRozan has to take a little bit less. But that is an option for the Bulls, really their only option, because they're not going to get far enough below the salary cap to really have any type of true spending power. So I think that's the first thing, is creating enough space to use that mid-level exception. And then on top of that, what will they use then that space for? And you got to look at three-point shooting has to be a priority for the Chicago Bulls this offseason in whatever they do. The Bulls were 20th in three-point shooting percentage at 3-point shooting percentage. And they didn't shoot it great at all. 29%, I believe, is what they shot it at. And that's not going to cut it. In this modern NBA, that's just not going to get you there. And so the Chicago Bulls, in looking to improve that three-point shooting percentage, which they did shoot it at a 35.8% clip from three-point range, and that's just not going to cut it. That put them towards the bottom of the league in both attempts and percentage. And so they were 20th in three-point percentage, and they were 26th in three-point attempts per game. So that's just not going to cut it for this Chicago Bulls team trying to move to a modern era. And we saw a lot of times where, you know, to DeMar DeRozan's credit, took more threes than what he has at any point in time in his Bulls career last season. And he hit it at a pretty decent enough clip. Not amazing, but a pretty decent enough clip. Alex Caruso, a career number of percentage, and also career number of attempts as well. Alex Caruso stepped it up. And Kobe White, we know what he meant. Even Ayo Dosunmu, all these players stepped it up. But guess what? It wasn't enough, because while those are players, they turned their three-point shooting into a weapon, specifically Caruso and Ayo. They really turned and turned their three-point shooting into a big asset for the Chicago Bulls team. But they did not do enough. They did not do enough to really make this a three-point shooting team. And so if you have those players stepping up in the way that they did from three-point range, that's great, but you still need some actual three-point shooters out there to help space the floor. And I'm not saying the Bulls need to just look at people who just shoot threes, right? That type of specialist. But, you know, right now, when you look at, for example, Ayo, he shot the ball at 40% from three last season, the highest of his career, at 3.9, basically four attempts per game, right? And that's great. And if he can keep that up, but you don't want to necessarily bet on that with that one season of production. The Bulls need spacing, and that is one of the things that hurt the Bulls the most. But outside of just three-point shooting, if they can find players that can move without the ball, that constantly are in movement, trying to create those seams and lanes, not only for them but for other players, it's going to help tremendously. So three-point shooting has to be something, in my opinion, that the Bulls really do look to add to this team in a meaningful way. And it's been there. Three-point shooting has been a problem on this Bulls team since this version of the team came together. Now, Lonzo helped some with that, right, in that first season because of he was basically scoring almost primarily from the three-point range. But we need more than that. And before people get to say, but isn't Lonzo going to come back? Yeah, we already know how I feel on that one. So three-point shooting is something I really feel the Bulls have to prioritize in this offseason. And then as well as filling out the bench, with the Bulls being as close to the luxury tax line as what they are, and that's without bringing players back. You got to look at it. Torrey Craig could opt out. DeMar DeRozan's a free agent. Andre Drummond's a free agent. Patrick Williams a restricted free agent, right? And in just re-signing Patrick Williams and DeMar to the rumored deals, you're right up there to the luxury tax line with still having to replace multiple players. So filling out the bench is something that's going to be important in how you do that, because it can't just be veteran minimum guys. And that's why it goes back to that first thing that I laid out, is creating enough space to be able to use that mid-level exception is hugely important for the Bulls, in my opinion, this offseason. And so the Bulls are going to have to ask themselves some questions to get there. P. Will, what are you going to re-sign him for? We've talked about that at detail. Like, what is that deal going to look like? Is it going to be closer to the $20 million we heard earlier? Is going to be closer to kind of a Kobe White type contract at like 12 and a half, 13 per, right? Where you can get in there and create more flexibility for your team. DeMar DeRozan, what's the price tag on DeMar? That is really one of the biggest linchpins in this, right? Is that if the Bulls are looking to bring back 35-year-old DeMar DeRozan, who turns 35 in August, and they're doing that at the 40 million clip that we've heard now, hopefully that's rumored. Maybe him and the team can come to a longer-term contract for less money. But the DeMar DeRozan situation is going to determine a lot of that as well, on how flexible the Chicago Bulls can be. And this is without Torrey Craig. This is without Andre Drummond coming back, right? So the Bulls have tons of questions that they need to ask themselves. And when you really look at the free agent market, you know, yeah, I've seen people mention like the Pascal Siakams, the Tobias Harris, things like that. And while we can have our conversation on how much those players can realistically help the Bulls, it's not just about that. How do you even get them here? Now, to AK and Eversley's credit, when we added DeMar, when we added Zoe, when we added Alex Caruso, technically that was a team that went into that offseason with not much cap space. And that's why you saw the Bulls have to create so many opportunities through signing trades. A lot of it was signing trades to bring those guys in there, right? And so, you know, but then we look at how many assets and picks the Bulls had to give up to bring those players in via signing trades. So I'm not saying that that's always going to be the case, right? Especially if you're looking at a team that is trying to dump some salary and maybe not re-sign their own free agents, but then they can get something back in return for letting that go at a lesser amount. That's a possibility. But either way, that means AK is going to have to get to cooking. That's it. And, and I didn't even mention Javonte Green. Now, I don't think bringing back Javonte is going to be as much of a problem. I believe his veteran minimum is a little over $2 million. So theoretically, the Bulls are going to be able to bring Javonte Green back if they want to, which could, with the familiarity, the other changes around the team, could be something that they do look to prioritize. We also know Javonte Green is just a Chicago Bulls player, right? But you got DeMar, you got Patrick, you got Drum, you got Javonte Green. You potentially could you know, move off of Henry Drell, move off Ernulat Batum as well to create some space. So there's a lot of different avenues that this Bulls team can go, but it's what is the priority? And it really comes down to these two things. Is it competing still the priority? And if that is still the priority, is to compete as far as going for the play-in, going for playoff spots with whatever type of makeshift roster that you have to, that you can piece together. If that is the priority, then the Bulls are going to have to walk a tight line. If the Bulls are kind of more open to, hey, we're going to try to create the best version of this team, make the roster make more sense, right? That's the first thing. Let's get players that fit here together, because we've been playing with a roster that doesn't necessarily fit together the best here the last little bit. If we want to create more sensible roster that fits together, then that may mean, hey, we may not be as good as what we were last year. Next year may be a struggle, but then the benefit on the other side of that is then you get to pick keep your own pick in a deep 2025 draft, which is another part in all of this offseason, right? How much do the Bulls look at what they can do this offseason as being enough, right? as being enough? Or do they look at that 2025 pick that's owed to the Spurs? If it does not fall in the top 10, it's owed to the Spurs. Do they look at that and say, that may be our next opportunity to really add a star-level talent to this team, is to get it young, get it in the draft that's supposed to be deep? Are they scouting heavily then at that point, right? So, and that's where we don't necessarily have the biggest faith in AK.
This summer, saddle up with the only sportsbook where you can bet on horse racing, FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $500. Just download the app or go to FanDuel.com/horses to score your no-sweat bet up to $500. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Offer valid on first real money wager of $5 or more. Verified FD racing account required. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 7 days after issuance. Max refund $500. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Because where some teams would take a step back with the upcoming draft that they have with Cooper Flagg coming in potentially in 2025, the Bulls are a team that right now seems content with saying, hey, no, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep competing. And, We'll either figure it out through trades or through free agency. And maybe that ends up being the best route. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball to be able to tell you this. But what the Bulls do this offseason, and if it does mean coming, if that does come with this team taking a bit of a step back, Bulls fans have to be patient. And I don't know if AK is ready to sell that after multiple seasons of not doing much. And that's the kind of situation that AK has put himself in that I'm a little bit worried about, is that the sake of doing something to appear like you're doing something that may actually hurt the team more in the long run. And that's admittedly just my own fear of this, the history of the Bulls and things like that. Like, you can hurt yourself in an opportunity trying to go for it when you probably should be more so take a lateral step, right? So it's not as easy as what a lot of us make it seem. I wish this was a more straightforward offseason where the Bulls had like this uptick where players were interested in coming to play for the Bulls. It doesn't seem like that. You know, AK has talked about before, he was surprised by the number of free agents that are interested in the Bulls. Well, hell, go out and get some of them, AK. That's what it comes down to. Can you go out and get some of them? I guess we'll see if he can do that and bring that to Chicago upcoming. With that said, though, I want to move into the next topic that I have, and that is when you look at the firing of coaches around the NBA, right? And I know this is going to be a sore topic for some Bulls fans, and some Bulls fans are going to adamantly say, no, we're doing the right thing. And, you know, this isn't to say right or wrong, whatever your feelings are, I want to hear on them, right? But when you look at teams like the Suns firing Frank Vogel yesterday, right? The Lakers firing Darvin Ham, which, you know, I didn't think Darvin Ham was that good of a coach anyway. The Milwaukee Bucks early in the season firing Adrian Griffin, not even through a full season of them making major changes and bringing in Doc Rivers, and then not looking that good afterwards, right? And then I'm going to start talking about some of the signings of a new head coach that we signed. But when you look around the league, and those teams that I mentioned, Suns, way more talent than the Bulls. The Lakers, way more aspirations than the Bulls. They've been way more aggressive, and they got AD, they got LeBron down there. It makes sense. The Milwaukee Bucks, they are trying to go for it because they are terrified. Terrified of anybody, of the, God forbid, Giannis asked for a trade, even though he re-signed, right? So you have those type of things there. But those teams did not rest on having a coach that just had mediocre success. And all those coaches, whether how you look at them as being how good of a coach you look at them in being or not, had way more success than Billy Donovan. And that is why a lot of Bulls fans are so discontent with the Bulls' reluctance to move on from Billy Donovan. Now, one thing I've said before as well is that Billy, and AK said this as well, has always dealt with a very flawed roster. I believe any coach, I don't care who you are, if you hire Shay, shout out to Shay in the chat, as a head coach, every coach deserves an opportunity to, or deserves a complete roster. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be realistic that you can get one there and you still have to evaluate them based off what you see. But Billy Donovan hasn't had a complete roster. He has dealt with injuries. He has dealt with us always having a deficit of size or things like that, right? So he gets that. But how much longer are you going to get that in? You know, this love that the front office and ownership has for Billy Donovan, I just hope that at some point it doesn't. It's already hurt them in a sense, right? Ime Udoka was a front runner for the Chicago Bulls coaching position, and they were going to go a different route of looking at a young, unproven coach. But Billy Donovan became available. The coaching search then pivoted towards him, and they decided to go with a guy who had been around the league, been extremely successful in college. Didn't have the success that a lot of people thought that he should have had with the roster they had in OKC. But you went out and got that guy, right? You got that guy. And I think that when you look at that, like, it's not that, and I'm not blaming it all, because it's not all on Billy Donovan. Let me be clear. In no way am I saying everything is all on Billy Donovan. But when you have a franchise that rests on its roster, that rests on its laurels and not being aggressive, rests on the head coach, it just keeps this thing going of, where do you expect the change to truly come from? And in a time where AK has talked about change and already said Billy Donovan's not going anywhere, we have yet to have the opportunity, because it just, we're still in the middle of the season, still going on. It's the postseason, but it's still the 2023-24 season. We haven't had a chance to really change the roster. We look at changing some of the assistants on that bench for Billy Donovan, but what does that really bring? And that's the thing, that it just brings it all to the forefront of the mind of, this is still have been a front office that is still content with mediocrity. And as long as you're content and settle in mediocrity, typically you're going to stay in mediocrity. And so, you know, in seeing the movement of the coaches around the league, and then the Hornets, they hired the lead assistants from the Boston Celtics in Charles Lee. If you added a Ray there, he'd be Chucky. Charles Lee Ray, if you get that deep cut, I love you. But you just want to see something different for this team. And we know Billy Donovan has 2 years left on his contract now, thanks to the Kentucky rumors, right? I don't even know if we'd know that if it wasn't for that. So now you have to look at this. Is it going to be a situation where, no matter what happens next season, again, we are just going to stick with Billy Donovan? That's the question you got to keep in mind. And that this is still a front office that, when AK and Eversley came on, the ownership asked them to keep on Jim Boylan. But yet, Tom Thibodeau was forced out. It's just a bunch of questions, a bunch of trauma when it relates to it. It is what it is. We can't control it. That's the team that we root for. And hopefully, at some point, they start wanting to do better. All right, moving to the last topic for today. DeMar DeRozan announced a new book called Above the Noise. And he said that this is a story of chasing calm. For those that don't know, I got into podcasting originally in solo podcasting. I was on a wrestling podcast before that. But when I originally got into my solo podcasting journey, it was a podcast that was built around activism, mental health, black culture, all that type of stuff, right? And so mental health is a big thing to me, and I love it when people speak out on it. And every time DeMar DeRozan has spoken out about mental health, it's all been poignant, it's all been important, and it's all been powerful. And him saying this, as men, and especially black men, we don't talk about our mental health enough. We struggle to admit when things aren't okay, even when it's obvious to everybody around us. I've seen how toxic that can become. I experienced it myself. Keeping everything under wraps until your head and heart are full of fire and rage. And so this is definitely going to be something that, or not just because DeMar DeRozan is a Chicago Bull. It's because that it is somebody who people would generally look at and saying, hey, you made it, right? You got to play a game for your NBA career. Yeah, you haven't gotten to win a title, right? And, you know, some people blame you for that with the Toronto Raptors. That's a story for another day. But DeMar DeRozan's openness on his mental health journey is something that I want to see more people do, and more men openly talk about. And so I know this is beyond sports right now. That's why I put this at the end of the episode, because I know some people don't come for this type of thing. But I think that this is a powerful step, and this is something that I will be supporting with my money, and I will be reading, because I think that that's an important journey. And DeMar DeRozan, this is why I say that any knocks on DeMar DeRozan on the basketball court, or knocks on DeMar DeRozan as a basketball court, as a person, as a leader, as a mentor, he brings a lot of it. Side babies aside, but he brings a lot, and he really is admirable in how he deals and talks about mental health at a time where not many people at his place in life, lot in life, really talk about mental health and be and prioritize that. And so when people talk about DeMar, like, staying on as a mentor of the Chicago Bull, for the Chicago Bulls young core and stuff like that, this is part of the reason why that could definitely be a benefit to the young players, because of the journey that he's gone on, and be able to talk to those guys when they do face doubt. When they do, like, hell, Kobe can do that as well. Look at Kobe, went from 2 seasons ago, people saying that he absolutely had to be traded to bring in a power forward, to now people looking at Kobe White and saying, hey, this guy offers our best opportunity to get out where the hell we are, right? So you got it. The mental aspect of this game, the mental aspect of playing in the NBA, the criticisms, the critiques, the failing, right? And, you know, we recently heard Joakim Noah talk about how them not being able to get past the Miami Heat is something that still haunts him to this day, right? So that aspect of this whole thing, I love that you have somebody like DeMar, that you have more players, and hopefully it breeds a ground in an area where more players feel comfortable talking about this type of thing. So I got to give, comments to DeMar DeRozan. I commend him for coming out with this book. spending some time getting this written and releasing it, because listen, this is something that a lot of people can read and get something out of. And so I love that aspect of it. But thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central. Next week starts draft profiles, because with the draft lottery on Sunday, we'll be able to know exactly where the Bulls are going to pick at. I'll be out, start off with kind of my favorite prospects at where the Bulls are going to draft at. Then we'll break down stuff position by position group, even get into some mock drafts, some trade type scenarios starting next week. It's going to be a really fun time. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
This summer, saddle up with the only sportsbook where you can bet on horse racing, FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $500. That's right, you'll get up to $500 back in racing credit if your first horse racing bet doesn't win. With FanDuel Sportsbook, you can even watch and bet select races live right in the app. So, bet horse racing on the same app where you bet all your other favorite sports. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just download the app or go to FanDuel.com/horses to score your no-sweat bet up to $500. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Offer valid on first real money wager of $5 or more. Verified FD racing account required. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 7 days after issuance. Max refund $500. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.